Welcome to We Sing Our Faith, sharing the music and ministry of today's Catholic recording artists. I am your host, Julie Carrick, and it is my privilege to share my fellow artists with you.
Welcome indeed to We Sing Our Faith. And as I mentioned yesterday morning on Notes of Truth on Morning Joy, we are looking at a beautiful focus for the rest of this year and going into next year with Carrick Ministries, and that is living the words we pray. You know, this whole thing kind of started for us early this year when we were looking at how we would prepare ourselves, as we did a couple of weeks ago, for the consecration to the Sacred Heart of Jesus Christ, and to not just say words, but to literally live the words that we pray. And so beginning this weekend, we're going to do a two-part series. And what I'm going to be doing with that is over this week and next, we're going to look at some of the prayers that we so simply pray. And we say these words over and over, either in our devotional prayers. Sometimes we say them during the Mass. They are just these magnificent words, if you will, that have such a deeper meaning. And we have to really kind of reformat our brain, so to speak, to not simply say these words, but to pray them. And then to not just pray them, but to live them. And so this week and next, we're going to go deep and we're going to look at the magnificent beauty and the power and the strength and the grace that we have at our avail whenever we slow down, when we are doing our prayers, and to get past just saying them, but to begin living them. And so we're going to begin today with a wonderful friend from Louisiana, Miss Laura Huval. And Laura was on with us at the end of last year as she was sharing with us her beautiful sung rosary. And I love that Laura taught us to slow down in how we even approach that beautiful devotion. And in the words of these beautiful saints, when you sing, you pray twice. Well, when she sings the rosary and the prayers of the rosary, that in and of itself has us slow down a bit. But we want to slow down even a bit more. But for the purpose of having music with We Sing Our Faith and then looking at the powerful verbiage of these prayers and how we can begin to live them, we're going to begin with the Apostles' Creed. So from her rosary, the Sung Rosary CD with Ms. Laura Huval, the Apostles' Creed.
I believe Father Almighty, Creator of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, His only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. On the third day, He rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of God, Father Almighty. From there He will come to judge the living and the dead.
Thank you, Laura. And thank you for when you were on We Sing Our Faith and teaching us the beauty of the sung prayer, that it begins that process of slowing down. It really teaches us that in music, we tend to memorize prayers a little bit easier, but then to move past the simple memorization and really living them. So the Apostles' Creed, you know, I believe in God the Father, creator of heaven and earth. Well, do I believe that? And if I believe that God is the creator, do I believe that he has created me, my family members, my children, my spouse, my parents, my neighbors, cousins, friends, all every person on this earth is created in the image and likeness of God our Father. God the Father, creator of heaven and earth. And in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord. And within that prayer, we say the words that we believe this, but do we really believe that Jesus Christ, who was born of the Blessed Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried, rose from the dead, and is now seated at the right hand of God, the Father Almighty, and that someday he is going to come and judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. Now, you know, just praying it with that type of voice, saying the words that way instead of just simply, you know, just kind of rambling off those memorized words of the creed. When we say that we believe this, how are we living it? If we know that God has created us in his image and likeness, then why is there so much gender craziness happening in our world right now? If we don't believe that God created us as we are, male or female, there's only two genders, right? Male or female. And he's created us to love him, to get to know him, so that after knowing and loving and serving him in this life, we will be with him in the next. That we need to quiet out the noise of the world and hear the voice of God speaking into our lives so that deeply connected to him, we will someday be with him in eternity. And so we heard the prayer sung by Laura Huval, and now we're going to hear a beautiful song written by Jamie Teton, which invites us to quiet out the noise of the world so that we hear that one clear voice of God drawing us to him, so that we can live every moment of every day within his call on our life. So from Jamie Teton, her beautiful song, One Clear Voice.
Which path to
Thank you, Jamie. You know, what a great invitation to quiet out the noise of the world so that as we look at a prayer like the Apostles' Creed, or when we are at Mass and we pray together the Nicene Creed, you know, those things that we claim that we live, how beautiful to quiet out the noise and ask God to be that one clear voice speaking into our life. And now we're going to go to the next prayer. And it is simply the Our Father, the Lord's Prayer, the prayer given when the apostles asked Jesus Christ himself, Lord, how are we to pray? And we hear Jesus say, you will pray like this, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. You know, when I was working on the book, Incense and Intercession, which goes deep into each and every one of these prayers, and I came to this one, man, it caused me to pause a number of times. Like that phrase right there, thy will be done. When we know full well that God has given each and every one of us the gift of free will, that gift of free will that we can either use to draw closer to him, and by drawing closer to him, we are saying, Lord, I want to do your will, not mine. If we could learn every day that when we wake up, we simply hand the day over to his perfect will, right? The other phrase in there that is not always quite as obvious as the one that says, you know, forgive us as we forgive those who have trespassed against us. That one, I mean, I think everybody struggles with that just a little bit. We want to be able to be forgiven, but are we willing to really forgive? And that one seems to always be the line that comes up whenever we're discussing or praying about or really delving into the Lord's Prayer. But I have to be honest, the one line that really caused me to pause and to really go deep in my relationship journey with Christ and with that person of the Trinity, God our Father, is the line that says, give us this day our daily bread. Do I really believe that one? It doesn't say, give us a bank account with $1 million in it so that I don't have to worry about blah, 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 blah down the road. It says, give us this day our daily bread. And we are literally in that prayer telling God, I am okay with knowing that each day will have the provision that you know that I need. And it comes across as that simple little line, give us this day our daily bread. It's that matter of asking the question, do I really trust God that my daily needs are going to be met? Or am I so worried about things that I have to, you know, plan 6 months down the road, or I've got to plan, you know, 16 years down the road before retirement and all of those types of things that can create an anxiety in our life that just simply does not have to be there. So this is what I'm talking about when I say living the words that we pray. Are we living them to their fullest impact in our life? Or are we saying the words to kind of finish up each of the devotional prayers each day? So I want to go ahead and sing this one. There's such a beautiful melody that was written so many decades ago by Mr. Malote. And when I was, again, working on the book Incense and Intercession, this one made its way back up to the top again. And it's just one that I love to sing. So from me, your host, Julie Carrick, the Lord's Prayer.
Our Father, which art in heaven,
That one, along with many of them, as I mentioned, the book Incense and Intercession, I hope you'll call in and order the book or go to the website. So if you go to wesingourfaith.org, wesingourfaith.org, that's the site, and there you can just click on the link for Julie Carrick, and that is the best place to get the book Incense and Intercession. And in every chapter of the book, I take one of these prayers and we break it down. And we look at who wrote the prayer, where it came from, why do we pray it, and then how do we go about living these prayers. And so at the end of each of the prayer chapters, there's a few journal pages. And they're very deliberately there for us to be able to sit down with pen after reading the chapters, listening to the music, and then going deeper. Lord, how am I living it? How am I truly living these prayers in my daily life? And that's going to actually take us to our next song today, because in the chapters of the books, as I said, there's a QR code. You scan it, you listen to the music, you write your thoughts down, and then how do we live it? And the next song is focused on the phrase, "Your kingdom come." And a wonderful friend from Michigan, Timothy R. Smith. And Timothy is also one of the OCP composers. You'll see some of his music in the hymnals. And this particular song is so fitting for today, especially since we have just spoken about the Lord's Prayer, the Our Father, and asking our Lord to have His kingdom come. Not our kingdom, not the things that we want in this earth, on this earth, in our life, for our life, but what God has planned for us. And to be able to say to Him, "Your kingdom come, Your will be done, not mine." And so thank you, Tim, for writing this beautiful piece of music and sharing it with us today. So from Timothy R. Smith, "Your kingdom come."
Blindness, I can see. I am slowly learning. Strength in my humility. When for You I am yearning. When all distractions, thoughts and fears, in Your hands rest securely. Your voice in my heart I hear. Frees me from all worry. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Earth as it is. Your
Absolutely beautiful. Thank you for sharing that one with us. And the next prayer that we want to go to today as part of this focus of living the words that we pray is the Hail Mary. And I'm telling you, it truly is one of my favorite prayers. I'm a mama's girl when it comes to Mama Mary. I have such a great respect for this amazing woman, this beautiful holy saint that so many times is set to the side and not really given the honor that she deserves. Or there'll be this weird thing coming from a focus from some of our Protestant brothers and sisters who don't really understand Mary. And quite frankly, some Catholics who don't understand Mary. But that question that comes up, why do you Catholics worship Mary? I'm going to reiterate it again. Catholics do not worship Mary. We do not worship her. Worship is for God alone. The Father, Son, and Holy Spirit are the only to be worshiped. However, we do honor Mary. We honor her as the mother of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. She who said yes when the angel Gabriel came at the behest of God to speak with Mary and to calm her fear as she was asked, will you say yes? And when Mary said yes, listen to these words, she conceived of the Holy Spirit. And 9 months later, as we celebrate Christmas, her baby boy was born. Her baby boy was born. The mother of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, her name is Mary. And if we can't in some way draw close to Mary, we are losing out on one of the greatest gifts of our prayer life ever. And that is asking the woman who cooperated in the birth of the Savior of all of us, how to draw closer to her son. She who knows him perfectly. She who knows God so perfectly that she was able to say yes and then to conceive of the power of the Holy Spirit to give birth and to faithfully live the entire life of Jesus Christ next to him, to the point that she was one of the only three standing at the foot of the cross. Mary, his mother, Mary Magdalene, and John were the three faithful who stood at the foot of the cross. And Mary, who he gave to us in that moment before he died, when he said, "Behold your mother," and to John, behold your mother, right? And then for us to be able to say, she is our mother too, right? And to Mary, behold your son, indicating that she would be our mother. She who we could ask to pray for us. There is such a powerful intercession when we ask someone's mother to pray with us. If you've got something happening in your life and you go to a dear friend and you say, please pray with me for this or that or the other thing. How much more powerful than to go to the mother of our Lord and Savior and to say, would you please pray on my behalf? And in the beautiful prayer, the Hail Mary, taken from Luke's Gospel, Hail Mary, those first two words, are teaching us that we can say, Mom, do you have a minute? Mother Mary, do you have just a minute? We get her attention, Hail Mary. And then those next three words, full of grace. Just wow. Like, just wow. Those three words, full of grace, should teach us the incredible life that our Blessed Mother Mary lived. Full of grace, she who was so filled with grace that from the moment she was conceived in the womb of Saint Anne, she was already purified, already made perfectly holy, because perfection cannot come from imperfection. Christ was born of Mary. And he could not have come from someone who had the stain of sin. And so we know that from the moment of her conception, she was already immaculate. And then to give and live that yes so perfectly, we learn from her life that the grace that filled her from the moment of her conception, that grace was necessary in order for her to live that life perfectly the way that she did. To be able to have the highest of the highs, to give birth to the Savior, and then have to go into exile because Herod wanted him dead, and then to come back when it was safe, and finally that day when he was presented in the temple, and Simeon came in and spoke those prophetic words, and to look at Mary and to say, and you, woman, a sword of sorrow will pierce your heart. And we know that it did. And to watch her son serve in the ministry that he did to so many for so many years, only to then watch him make that triumphant entrance into Jerusalem when he said he was going there to die, and then to see the crowd change so quickly from praising those hosannas to screaming out for his death. What kind of grace did she have? Hail Mary, full of grace. Teaching us that we need to tap into the grace that each and every one of us has given by God our Father, poured into us through the Holy Spirit and our baptism and confirmation, so that we too can live a life of grace. She who was full of grace, those three little words, full of grace. Blessed are you among women. She was the chosen one before all time. God knew she would give and live that yes. So she, full of grace, blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb. And we know that that fruit, Jesus Christ, born by her, born into this world to give his life. Blessed is the fruit of your womb, Jesus. And when we say those prayers at the answering portion of that, Holy Mary, Mother of God, We can say that phrase, Mother of God, because Father, Son, and Holy Spirit is a triune. They are the Trinity. So we could either say Mary, Mother of Jesus, Mary, Mother of God, Mary, Mother of the Holy Spirit. They are one. So to call her Mother of God, and then we say that phrase, pray for us, sinners. Pray for us, Mother, who did these sins in our life, that your Son came and suffered and died for us. I caused him that pain. I caused him to suffer by my pain and my sin. I caused his pain. And asking his Mother to intercede for us. And never in all of these millennia has she ever said no to a suppliant child. Instead, she stands in the gap. She stands and intercedes for us, her children. It's amazing. And so the song that I want to share with you today on this one, on the beautiful Hail Mary prayer, is my song, Mother of Grace, where I have taken the Hail Mary and then the beautiful other prayers of our Blessed Mother and melded them into one song. So as I sing this for you today, I'm going to invite you to bring before our Blessed Mother and to hand into her most capable and blessed hands your needs so that she can lovingly present them to her Son, to say, my children are coming to you, my Son. Let's help them out. So from me, your host, Julie Carrick, Mother of Grace.
Session was left unaided. Inspired with this confidence, I fly unto thee, O Virgin of Virgins, my Mother. To thee do I come, before thee do I stand, sinful and sorrowful. O Mother of the Word Incarnate, despise not my petitions, but in thy clemency, hear and answer me. Amen.
I love singing that one, and I really love that prayer in the middle. The beauty of that prayer where we pray the words, but then do we live them? Knowing that she will stand in the gap. And if we could humble ourselves just a little bit to admit that we need our mother's love, our mother's grace, that if we can ask her to wrap us in her mantle and to take us close through her immaculate heart into that perfect sacred heart of her son, all I can say is wow. Like, our lives will change when we allow ourselves to, again, humble ourselves to admit that we need our mother's love. And Jesse Menabusin, such a beautiful man of God, and a man that has, in his own ways, has suffered so much in this life, and yet stays close to Mama Mary. The love that he has for her comes across in so many of the songs that he has written. There's a beautiful Marian record that he did a few years ago that we had on We Sing Our Faith when Jesse was our special guest. And I love that he continues to share his music with us. And Jesse, too, is one of the Oregon Catholic Press composers. So you'll see some of his music in the hymnals. But the one that we've chosen today to be a part of this part one of living the words that we pray is his song, Song of Mary. The heart that you're going to hear in this man as he sings the beautiful love that he has for Mama Mary, and knowing that he can put his trust in her intercession, comes across so beautifully in his music as well. Another wonderful thing for us to learn. So wherever you are listening today, be blessed now as Jesse Menabusin sings for us Song of Mary.
Sing of Mary, first disciple, full of grace, beloved of God. Sing of her courage and compassion as she defends the forgotten ones. Blessed is she among all people. Blessed is she, friend of the poor. Sing of Mary, God's reflection, witness of mercy and God's truth. Creation, earth and water, sea and sky. Let all the church through the incarnation join with Mary in this time. All are created in God's image. Life is sacred, flowing from love. Mary extends God's invitation. All are welcome, all belong. All are created in God's image. Sacred, flowing from love, Mary extends God's invitation. All are welcome, all belong. Thank you.
Thank you, Jesse. Thank you for that beautiful, beautiful song. And now the last prayer that we're going to have today is part one, is one of my favorite prayers. And again, when I was working on the book Incense and Intercession, the Anima Christi is one of those prayers that just surfaced right to the top of the favorites when we sent word out that we wanted to write a book on prayer. And now, of course, utilizing it in this great focus of living the words we pray, it just needed to be a part of it today. So we're going to begin with the words. So Anima Christi, which is soul of Christ. So Anima Christi, sanctify me. Body of Christ, save me. As we say that little phrase, body of Christ, save me, we have to realize that we are saying something as not only a reminder to ourselves, but this incredible gift to look upon when we admit that Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, was willing to walk the road of Calvary, to be beaten so cruelly, to be scourged, to be crowned with thorns, to carry that cross, and to ultimately be crucified and die on that instrument of torture in order to be the atonement for our sins. All of those words together, right? Think of that. The brutality that he suffered is summed up in those short little few words, body of Christ, save me, because it did. And we can so simply say that prayer, but if we realize the intent of it, the intent of that, we should be living a life of gratitude, which should then form us so that when we have that temptation to sin, which is why he went to the cross for the atonement of our sins, we want to pull back from those habits and make changes in our life to say, God, help me. Truly, God, help me to avoid the sins that put you on that cross. And so when we say that phrase, body of Christ, save me, please, God, help me to make those changes in my life so that I'm not just saying the words, but that I am allowing it to affect my behavior. And then that next little phrase, which is no coincidence that it is the very next phrase of this prayer, blood of Christ, inebriate me. And as I've said before on previous episodes, that word inebriate seems so strange to have in a Catholic prayer, and yet it is perfect. Because to be inebriated means that in a euphoric sense, we allow ourselves to come under the control of the substance that we have taken into our bodies. We lose control to the substance. How magnificent if we would truly give over our self-control into the perfect plan of God. Basically, we're saying, Lord, take my free will and let my free will be in accord with your will in my life. So if we really want to change our behaviors, move away from those sinful actions of our life and be the person that God has truly created each of us to be, then it only makes sense that we want to give up that free will. So just in those first couple of phrases of this prayer, the Anima Christi, body of Christ, save me, blood of Christ, inebriate me. And then to look at that next perfect phrase, water from the side of Christ, purify me. In our baptism, we are made whole. We are purified from original sin and we are filled with grace, like that grace that we pray in that Hail Mary, full of grace. So we too are full of grace in the moment of our baptism. And when sin enters our life and we begin to lose that perfect sense of that perfect grace, we have that opportunity to turn back so that the body of Christ who saved us, the blood of Christ, that if we would allow ourselves to give into that free will and then to allow ourselves that purification that we've experienced in baptism that takes us back into that place of reconciliation. And that water of Christ, purify me, make me whole, make me clean. Oh, how magnificent is that beautiful sacrament of reconciliation, which is mentioned in this line. In that last part of that first little set of phrases, Passion of Christ, strengthen me. Passion of Christ, strengthen me. There's nothing in this world that we're going to experience that is not covered by the blood of Christ, that is not giving us the strength that we need when we journey with Him in order to truly live our lives for Him, with Him, and in Him. So before we go to our final focus of this prayer for today, I want to sing for you now the Anima Christi. This was such a gift when our Lord gave me the melody to this one, to take this prayer and to set it to a simple melody that opens our heart to the Word. So from me, your host, Julie Carrick, Anima Christi. Again, this is only part one. We have so much more to talk about. And next week when we come back, we're going to pick up here with the Anima Christi. I want to just say the words quickly for today because we're going to go deep into these next week as we begin part two. O good Jesus, hear me. Within your wounds, hide me. Separated from you, let me never be. And from the evil one, protect me, defend me. And at the hour of my death, call me and bid me close to you to come, that with your saints I may praise you, and with your angels praise your name forever and ever. Amen. Oh man, we're going to go deep on this one next week. But for now, please take a moment. Go to the website, wesingourfaith.org. Wesingourfaith.org. That's the site. The toll-free number, 1-888-880-6874. Again, that number is 1-888-880-6874. And we are here to connect you. And also, if you are on staff at any of the parishes around the country who are hearing the program, please reach out to us at that same number to schedule one of these beautiful parish events, either an evening of reflection or a parish mission focused on this incredible idea of how we live the words we pray. I would love to come to your parish. And we make it super easy for you. We have a number of different ways that we make it not only affordable, but ways that we can partner with you to show you how you can make it at almost no cost. Very, very simple ways of bringing me in. And of course, Kurt is here in the office to take your call and to make sure that we pick the perfect event for you. And now, until next week, may God bless you and keep you.
Transmitting the treasures of our Catholic faith to your radio every day. This is the Guadalupe Radio Network, radio for your soul.
As a mother, I've learned that life is full of teachable moments. I've always taught my daughter to respect others, especially elders. But when a couple of adults blatantly disrespected her and one even humiliated her publicly, I knew I had to show her that such behavior is not to be tolerated. I had her read my emails with those adults so she could see firsthand how a Christian handles conflict. As Christians, we address issues with confidence and kindness. We never hurt others, even when they hurt us. Scripture teaches us that we all stumble in many ways, but a pattern of meanness needs addressed. And in the Gospel of Matthew, we're instructed to confront our brothers and sisters. If they refuse to listen, we bring along a few faithful Christians. If that still fails, we go before the church. And if they still refuse, Scripture says they are to be treated as unbelievers. So my coach's question is this: how can we show respect in a Christian way to others, especially those who have hurt us? This has been an Epiphany Insight. I'm Vanessa Denha-Garmo, a communications evangelist.
Would you like to experience a true renewal of the Spirit on a Harvest Journeys pilgrimage? You can walk in the footsteps of Jesus, Mary, and the saints. Pray at the sacred sites of Fatima, Lourdes, Italy, the Holy Land, and beyond, and encounter places where faith has been lived for centuries. Each pilgrimage is centered on reflection, fellowship, and a deeper encounter with God. You can visit harvestjourneys.com to book your pilgrimage. That's harvestjourneys.com, a sponsor of the GRN.
Psalm 1, verse 1 says, "Blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stand in the way of sinners, nor sit in the seat of scorners." What does that mean? Don't hang around with bad people? No. According to G.K. Chesterton, it means something much better than that. He says that there are certain people who, because they are really pure, create a good atmosphere around themselves. They are truly children of light, and that light shines on everything they touch. When a righteous person stakes out a clear position, we recognize that it's something solid and vital and eternal. So it's not that hanging around bad people makes us bad. It's that being righteous can help make the people around us righteous too.
Spend more time with the Apostle of Common Sense. Visit Chesterton.org for more information.